Happy Gaudete Sunday, aka Pink Sunday, aka Real Men Wear Pink Sunday, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, or it's not pink, it's rose, whatever, which is a shade of pink, apparently. But I wouldn't know because of my color deficiency. I think I'm wearing gray or something like that. No, someone said I am. Whatever you want to call it, it's a time of rejoicing because of the nearness of Christ, and we get this because it's the entrance font is pulling from this Sunday. It's rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Indeed, the Lord is near. And so, what is this Sunday all about? We have been dwelling on the dark purple of Advent, which is still present, and we have seen the darkness of night increase. We've also seen the temperature go from 50 to 47 degrees. It's brutal out there. And we had to get coats and all kinds of stuff. But darkness, it's all around us. And meanwhile, this third week of Advent, this is a time of preparing for the arrival of our Lord Jesus Christ at the solemnities and in the second coming. But there is this time of nearness at Christmas that's approaching, and are we ready for this time of Christmas, or are we consumed by all the crowds and the malls or the increased traffic and going to see Santa and all this good stuff, all kinds of stuff? It's stressful times, and it's also times of reminding us also of those who we've lost as well. So a lot of mixed emotions are going on during this time, but our focus should be our readiness and our anticipation of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we stop and take a look at the bright lit rose candle, we've been noticing it's coming. We've been counting down for 3 weeks for that, and we pause and ask: are we preparing for the solemnities of Christmas with passion, commitment, and confidence? That might be a question we might want to be asking ourselves as we continue this time of preparing for Advent or for Christmas and during this time of Advent. But I want to draw your attention to the first reading that from the book of the prophet Zephaniah. It's a very short read. There's only three chapters in it, and we've read the end of it. But this chapter, the prophet of Zephaniah, He speaks with a confidence about the end times and the judgment that will take place on the day of the Lord, where no one is spared this judgment. So earlier in the chapter 3, Zephaniah speaks about a conversion and restoration at the hands of the Lord, saying, "Yes, at that time I will change the speech of the peoples to a pure speech that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him with one accord." So Zephaniah ends his prophecy with a message of hope and commitment, which gives a confident read of the first reading. So it's a good thing we didn't read the first two chapters of that, because then you'd be wondering, why do we have this passage right now? But we do have the end of this passage, because until that purification and conversion happens, where all pride is lost and the people of God walk humbly in righteousness and the Lord rules over them, then we'll shout with joy. And then joyful songs and bright rose candles will light in our day. So this is how we're setting up with this context of having that hope in the midst of the darkness that we're experiencing, the sinfulness, the stress, you name it. All that's going on in this time of your preparation for Christmas. And returning to the gospel now, where John the Baptist says, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." His prophetic gesture of a suffering people, of what he took on due to the slavery of sin that in the lives of many, he in turn calls us to repentance, to turn to the Lord and to really look forward to that baptism of fire and the Holy Spirit. And the repentance of John the Baptist that he preached was not about just feeling sorry for doing something wrong. And as Jesus later reveals, repentance has not only has to do with feeling guilty or remorseful, but there is something bigger, something that the Lord is calling us to, a bigger vision to embrace this. And it's a commitment to turn away from sin and follow in his ways, and to only keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and listen to John the Baptist and the John the Baptist of your life pointing you to Jesus Christ, true God and true man. And Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI says that John's baptism was a human gesture, an act of penance, a human impulse for God, and to ask the forgiveness of sins and the chance to begin a new life. It was only a human desire, a step towards God with their own effort. And as you know, that was not enough. John the Baptist was not enough. He was not the Messiah, as he plainly told his followers, "I am not the Messiah, but the one mightier is coming." So he always pointed to something greater, someone greater and mightier than him. And so everything that we have been given is truly a gift from God, because he's the one who is constantly calling us to himself. And we are truly repentant when we admit that we have not always lived that vision of turning away from sin. And so there's this opportunity for us to convert and to really turn away from sin and commit ourselves with great confidence that the Lord in his mercy is ready to embrace us. And we have to remember that the sacraments instituted by Christ, they're for us. And there was a time where I needed and I relied on a priest to bring me into the church at baptism where God acts. And he continued to act in my life when I had to humble myself and confess my sins and receive absolution. And he continued with Holy Communion, his body and blood, soul and divinity, and sealing me with the gift of the Holy Spirit at confirmation as an adult. And even further, he continued calling me to serve, to give him myself in service of the church as a priest, where I tried to be ever more conformed to Jesus Christ, the Divine Master. But you got to remember where it all started. It all started somewhere, and it was at that baptism when Jesus began acting through the Holy Spirit, where the fire of the Holy Spirit dwelt among us and continues to dwell among us and will always dwell among us. And so in that sacrament, God comes to meet us, and he continues to meet us at the holy altar and in the confessional. And so what can we learn from John the Baptist? He consoled and encouraged and persuaded many people in many ways to believe in the good news of Jesus Christ, the one mightier than him. And he used words and images to preach God's coming and the power of God's love. And what was truly consoling and encouraging and persuading was that John spoke with passion. He spoke with a commitment to God and with a great confidence that the Lord was with him as he was showing them that Jesus was near. He was in their midst. They're about, you know, 6 months apart or so. Six or nine months apart. They're very close in age. So he knew Jesus was around. But he didn't know when his ministry would start. But he would at least have us anticipate his coming. Now, what if we began to prepare for Christ's coming with passion, commitment, and confidence, as if we receive him, body and blood, soul and divinity, in the Eucharist? Things will begin to change. Things will begin to change. Our lives will begin to to be able to share the good news and invite others who feel like it's not Christmas, who are not preparing, who are not engaging in the richness of the Lord Jesus present in this church and on this altar. So of course, yes, it's going to sound like Christmas is not here or coming, because our priorities are elsewhere. But I think today our priority ought to be with Jesus, our Lord, who is coming, and have this great passion and commitment and confidence that he is near, because God is present and here today. And we pray that we may find new ways of living the good news that our Lord is near and very close to us. And we who wait for Jesus and seek him alone, patiently and passionately, with lively desire and love, there can be only one motive for us to rejoice today. And that is to know that Jesus is near. He's nearer with each passing day, and he's nearer with each reception of his body and blood, soul and divinity.